You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
We're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture each and every week, twice a week, where you got that really weird grin. My God, it's just shiver down my spine. We cover the latest news and trends in pop culture each and every week, twice a week, wherever you get your podcasts. Inside sports, fantasy football, we will be doing a new episode coming up after the NFL draft, whenever it starts and whenever it ends this week, because it starts on Thursday and ends sometime wherever they want to, because it's a four-day, multi-day, multi-TV event, even the seventh and eighth round. God bless them. Go ahead and make sure you check out our thoughts on the winners and losers of the NFL draft on Inside Sports Fantasy Football. Plus also as well, of course, Joe Soro. Joe Soro, go ahead and check out today at... Anyways. Go ahead and check out Joe Soro as Ox1947 at LakersBall.com. I'm like dealing with adolescence on this show. I guess, you know, my wife asked me, did you want to become a school teacher at any point in time in your life? And I said, no, that's why I got YouTube. But of course, I want to go ahead and make sure you mention Ox1947 at LakersBall.com, plus also as well, of course, what he's doing today at Simblades, SimblatesWithAY.com. Our good friends, John Costa, Lakers Corner and Clutch Talk. Our good friend, Stone Hansen. He is at report_court on Twitter. He is checking out the latest draft picks and draft prospects for you at report_court. Laker Tom is probably crying somewhere in Northern California, but he is probably crying on LakerHolics.com along with our good friend, of course, Jamie Sweet. Go ahead and check out if he recovered from 420 at LakerHolics.com. Plus also as well, our good friends, Lakers in five, also as well, Empire Jeff TV, Daniel Berry Sports Highlights, yo, also as well, John McCallion. Please support all these great channels. And of course, we need all the help we can get. We thank you for the almost 5,000 views in the past 3 days. And you can go ahead and support us with a like, share, subscribe, follow, comment, whatever you can do to support us. Boy, there were a lot of comments. We still haven't addressed Joe and Sean on yesterday's show, so please go ahead and fill it out for us and help us out any way you can right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Well, the Lakers headed back home, down 2-0 after the gut-wrenching, heart-manipulating loss. Just ripped the guts right out from us as Jamal Murray made that last-second shot. And I know that the blame game, as mentioned in the comments on yesterday's video, is, well, the Lakers are blaming this. The Lakers are blaming that. The Lakers blaming this and that. They're not blaming themselves. Yes, some of the blame should go to them. But as we explained, for almost over 2 hours, there are lots of things going on and lots of things to blame for yesterday's loss. And here today to go ahead and discuss the Lakers still have a chance. Plus, and he loves to hear this, reports from some of his favorite people out there, Shams Charania, Dave McMenamin, Yovan Buha, and more, have speculated that not just Christian Wood may appear in Game 3, but Jared Vanderbilt is out of the boot. He is moving around, and he is a possibility for Game 3 as well. So here today to discuss all that and to see if those guys will actually be able to do anything to help us get the victory on Thursday is, of course, the guy behind. Of course, Simblades, simblades4thewhy.com. It is Joe Soro. And Joe, great to have you here. Again, the Lakers going back 2-0. Appreciate it, Daniel Berry Sports Highlights, for the donation. Always great for the super chat. As you said, who's going to get the blame game in Game 3? We will find out. But Joe, we are going back down 2-0. We had just almost had it. Almost had it, but you know what? Almost isn't quite good enough.
Well, the blame has to be I guess if you had a primary source, it's just not the inability to execute when it matters against this team. And when you lose 10 straight to a team, at some point there needs to be something figured out. But this is not a talent deficiency issue. This is an execution issue. This is a mental issue. And the Lakers seem to be deficient in that against the Nuggets. And I've had a chance to sit here and marinate on this for the last 24 hours. And I'm not really looking at these last two games as anything other than games that they lost. And if you want to show who you really are, win your next two games at home. Show what you got. Show that you can do it for 48 minutes versus only 40 minutes pretty much with this team. And then at that point, maybe you can get over on this issue. Because the blame game, even if you're right, it doesn't matter. Even if the refs didn't do certain things, it doesn't matter. Even if your coach stinks, it doesn't matter. In the end, you miss too many open shots. There's too many defensive sets that you don't really know what you're doing. And if you're going to be that smart basketball player, I'd like to think that, especially when you guys have been here as long as you've been here, i.e. LeBron and AD, I'd like to think that you guys could coach your players, your teammates, into doing things correctly. Maybe I'm asking for too much. I don't know. But the Lakers obviously have to win Thursday. And then if they win Thursday, they still got to win Saturday. They tie the series up the next two games at home. Then maybe some confidence might be able to start getting into that head of theirs. Then they have a game five, let's say, in Denver. Now there's a little bit more pressure for Denver not to lose that game if they're going to Denver 2-2. I mean, what else are we going to talk about here? Is it going to happen? Probably not. But we need to say, well, until this team loses at home, that there's a shot here to do something. And that's it. That's where we're at. There's nothing else to really discuss. We can't go the blame game and go into detail with this because there's too many blames to go around. Austin didn't make an open shot. Rui didn't make an open shot. LeBron didn't make an open shot, even though he was – integral in getting this team where it was at that point. We didn't get AD the ball enough deep down low, and that's something we've been talking about here for how long? Too long. This is not a well-coached team. This is not a well-prepared team in a lot of ways. They've gotten away with some things because of how great AD and LeBron and some of the role players are when they are on. But they can't seem to muster up enough when they're playing against the best team, which is Denver. And until this gets fixed, they're going to look like a mediocre team.
Which is a shame because, as Alan pointed out, they've had double-digit leads on Denver in both games. And that's not something every team can assess to. So,
Robert, that game two team was pretty good. That was a pretty good. That was probably the best showing I saw in the first half of a Laker Denver game. Considering this particular era of Denver and Laker teams, and they still ended up losing. So it's frustrating too because it was on the road. They had this game in hand. They can play against Denver. It's just they can't seem to close them out. So you're going to have to figure out a way to close these guys out at home at this point. Tie this sucker up. It's not game three doesn't mean anything if they win. The only thing that matters now is winning both. Because if you tie this series, now it's a three-game series, and you got to win one on the road, which is what you have to do anyways. I just said I don't see this team winning four in a row, and I don't see them winning a game seven in Denver. That's the issue with not winning game two. And that's it. It can also be a sweep, too. There's so many ways this can go, but we're going to hold some positive things here so that we don't bore ourselves with, well, we're going to lose, and we're going to go die somewhere. No, I don't want to look at it that way. Let's see if they can muster up enough balls here to say, look, we're not going to lose anymore to this team. We're going to start winning. You do that, you got enough players that you know that you're capable of doing it. Do it. Let's do it now. No more messing around. Let's do it.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It's a snack pack for you. It's Gerald Glassford along with Joe Soro. Also here today, the Madman from Toronto. He did get out of Toronto traffic to stop on by to talk about the Lakers and if they have a chance in game three to come back and start that process, which Joe was talking about, and tie things up with two wins in a row in LA. It is the Magic Man, Sean Grice. And Sean, great to have you here. I know Joe doesn't like to hear the word reports, almost like he doesn't like to hear the word hope, but reports have said that both Jared Vanderbilt and Christian Wood miraculously may be available for game three. What, if anything, could that provide for Lakers fans and the Lakers themselves for possibly a game three victory over the Nuggets?
We'd have the quadruple cardio bros, Gerald.
Yes, we would.
Spencer Dinwiddie, Gabe Vincent, Jared Vanderbilt, and Christian Wood. That's your quadruple cardio bros right there.
Now, if Cam Reddish came back from injury himself and he was inserted into the lineup, quintuple.
Yes. Very good, Gerald. Very good. Yes. I think Vanderbilt can provide, a lot of hustle and length defensively, Drill, but at this point, what does that mean for us? Because we know that the coaching staff has made little to no adjustments defensively. So that's really on Jared Vanderbilt himself as an individual to try and make things happen. And you know as well as I do, when you try and do things individually as a me instead of a we in the playoffs, that just spells disaster. And that has nothing to do with Jared Vanderbilt's proficiency as a defensive stalwart player. It's more about the concepts within the team defensively.
Well, Allen's not incorrect on that. He did get played off the court. We've said it dozens and dozens of times here. The thing is, Magic Man, I don't know how much anyone can expect what we're seeing as far as Jared Vanderbilt and Christian Wood. I mean, we see Kawhi Leonard tonight. He looked rusty in the first half against the Dallas Mavericks.
He's helping them out. Exactly.
What realistically can you expect from these guys? I mean, they'll be on minutes restrictions, and B, again, when it comes to Vando, they schemed him off the floor last year. I don't know. I just think that everybody's so excited about them coming back, and I just don't really know how much you should be really excited for. It should be the fact that maybe they'll give up, they'll give you 10, 15 more minutes combined extra that you weren't getting already.
Yeah, exactly. And it might be of little solace to Allen and other Laker fans, but Rui Hachimura is shooting 32% from the field, through two games, averaging 4.5 points. I mean, that's basically what you could get out of Jared Vanderbilt, plus Vanderbilt's defensive ability. If that's the case, if Vanderbilt's playing like that or even better, then he basically vaults Rui Hachimura, as well as getting more minutes. I mean, that as pathetic as that may seem, that's a truism. But it is true that Vanderbilt was strategically played off the court. It comes down to, you know what, Gerald? I posted Robert Horry's commentary to Joe, and I'm not sure if he heard it after the game. Did you happen to listen to what Robert Horry had to say?
No, I don't listen to that. I'm busy taking care of looking what on Twitter for the quotes from the actual players and coaches involved, and then also making sure I got the audios fast out there for our audience.
So Robert Horry said that the most important lesson he ever learned in the NBA was a rookie. And when the playoffs started, Hakeem walked up to him and they sat down before game one. And Hakeem told Robert Horry, the playoffs are simple, Robert. You keep it simple. Everything's simple. If you keep it simple, we'll win. And he said that was the best piece of advice he ever got as an NBA player. And Gerald, Michael Malone called a timeout after Austin Reeves scored, and it was 68-48. Do you know what adjustment he made?
I don't remember per se.
Okay. Go ahead, my friend. He told Nikola Jokic that you're no longer guarding AD. I'm putting Aaron on AD. Aaron Gordon checked AD for the rest of the game, Gerald. And that allowed Nikola Jokic to be free defensively. And what happened? Well, we got outscored 53-31. And a lot of those possessions, Nikola Jokic was able to get blows just on presence alone, Gerald. The Lakers didn't make him work. Nikola Jokic was gassed midway through that third quarter, Gerald. AD had 32 points through three quarters. His mid-range was on point, and he was getting whatever he wanted 8 feet within the basket. Yet Michael Malone countered what AD was doing by putting a bigger body on him, a more physical body on him. And Darvin Ham didn't counter the counter. And you know as well as I do, watching the NBA for so long, it's all about counters. And unfortunately, LeBron went headhunting for mismatches. And he's got a predilection and an efficient way of doing that. However, what Denver did was lure him into ISOs. It was ISO after ISO. There was no movement. There's no strategy. They weren't running any real plays. And Denver was able to conserve a lot of energy defensively. And it bit us in the ass. And at no point through that run did Darvin Ham even think about countering that matchup. Making sure that somebody is hedging Aaron Gordon as AD is coming up, like just knocking him off his position. Aaron Gordon is a pretty good defender, but he's not a defensive player of the year type defender. He's pretty good, but I wouldn't put him in the very good to excellent category. And the Lakers didn't even make him work. AD had one shot attempt in the fourth quarter, one. And he didn't even get to the foul line. It's an indictment on Ham's inability to adjust the counters. It's all about counters. It's like chess. Sometimes in chess, like if you talk to one of the great chess masters of all time, Garry Kasparov, Kasparov always said that the simplest move in chess is usually the most devastating, because your simple counters very often result in having the opponent have to rethink their strategy. And Darvin Ham didn't even think about the strategy of countering Gerald. He just watched it. Like Jason Kidd, just watched the game.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
The better that these Marvel films do, the higher the standards are going to be for not just other films in general, but other Marvel films also.
I think it's really hard to end a show with this many fans in a satisfying way.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Playing worldwide on radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Well, again, I did see the switch with Gordon playing AD, and then we saw the effects of that, Joe. We saw him get minimized in that last quarter and a half, he's gotten a lot of flack. He, LeBron, you know, just ton of blame from the audience, from the fans out there, from social media. They're getting a lot of heat at this point in time. I know that they've really tried very hard to go ahead and give them what you can, especially in the first half, but I can see the way that they're being played, Joe. It's just the pattern has emerged in both games where the Lakers really get off to good starts. They get those double digit leads and they just are just too fatigued for the most part to keep a hold of those leads, Joe. And we've seen that so far in both games.
Mentally lazy team would be the easiest way to describe their play in a 48-minute game against the Denver Nuggets. Darvin Ham doesn't call sets regularly. He just stands there with his...
Always see it goes iso ball in the second half, and correct. It just is irritating.
And we saw proof in some of the videos we all saw today in sharing the details of what was going on. The Lakers are not a disciplined team. They're mentally lazy. They're just mentally lazy. And fatigue makes cowards of us all. I think that's the easiest way to put it. They exert all that energy and then they kind of just YMCA it. And what I mean by that is when you play a lot at the gym or at the YMCA, you know, the pickup games, after a while, you start to just heave shots because you don't want to get to the basket. And that's the same situation here. These guys are not mentally trained to work against a team like Denver for 48 minutes. And this is the result of that inability to do that. So the blame game, it's easy to just say it's all Darvin Ham. He has a big part in it. It's easy to say that the refs really kind of cost us the game too, because they did have a part in it, especially this last game. They did. There's a couple and ones that they could have called. They should have called. The fact, here's one call that no one can argue against, at least not logically. I'm still trying to understand how that D'Angelo Russell play wasn't a foul. Well, he released the ball before he got hit. How many times have we seen and one 3-point shots that are 4-point plays after the fact? Which aggravated me listening to that brainless yak Reggie Miller, who's getting 10 times worse in every telecast that he does. It was a foul. Doesn't matter if it was after the fact. Okay. And where's the flagrant? I saw the Lakers get a flagrant on that call all year.
So I can just, after you, okay, if you put the shot up, Joe, and I cold cock you upside your head, it's not a foul. It's okay.
Correct. Look, even Tommy Heinsohn, the ultimate Laker hater in the 80s, didn't talk like this when he was doing Laker games with Dick Stockton on CBS. You're supposed to be an observant analyst. There's things that that numbnuts has said during the telecast that has gotten a scratch in our head. So you're teaching the audience to make believe that something's going on when it's not. The damn call was a foul, and it should have been a flagrant one. These things matter in the scope of the game, momentum wise, emotional wise. So there was a fact, there was an issue there. In the end here, the Lakers have to find a coach, folks. They have to find a coach that knows what he's doing. And the players have to listen to him. If you want a shot at winning, and it looks like there's some talent here, and you got to figure out a way to get the bright leadership here. If you're not going to listen to that coach, you're going to get tired. You don't have the right roster. Well, Genie, get off your ass and go find a GM that can find these players and draft them. Every little thing mattered. Every little thing mattered in the last 12 months. Getting the right draft pick, getting the right free agent pickup. All these things mattered. But you didn't take care of them because of whatever reason. And it's coming back to bite the Lakers now. Because they were going to have to go through Denver at some point. So it's irrelevant whether it's now or whether it's in a series after this or a series after that. They're going to have to go through that team. You should have prepared. You didn't get a center that could back up AD well enough for at least 12 minutes so that he's not dying. So he's not putting himself in bad positions because he's tired. These guys, no matter how good they are, they still need rest during the game. When you saw LeBron rest those few minutes in between quarters, it was like a whole different LeBron after that. It was just 3 minutes of actual game time and then probably about 5 to 10 minutes of actual time. He came back and was like kind of re-energized because he had that rest. It's a fractured team like it's been all year. And it's not going to get fixed here unless there's something gigantically drastic mentally from these players, the starters specifically, because there is no one else after that. The starters specifically need to muster something that they've never had before, and they need to play every single game where all five guys are contributing and they're not playing 38 minutes and only scoring 3 points. Rui has to drop 15 points. Austin has to drop at least 15 points. D'Lo needs to drop 20. And of course, AD and LeBron need to drop probably 25 apiece. If they don't do that, it's just not going to happen. Not against the Denver Nuggets. And you're going to have to fight against the fact that you have a coach that doesn't know what he's doing.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It's a snack pack, everyone. It's Gerald Glassford along with Joe Sorrell, Magic Man Sean Grice. Sean. So I bring the Vando question and the Wood question back to you, and I'll hit it back up, Joe, on that. But realistically, you know this audience. You deal with this audience now for close to 4 years now. And you see it all in social media. And they praise and they hail the coming of Vando, who looks great against the assistant coach right now in those videos. But I'm trying to understate it because of the fact that I just don't have much expectations that you can give for them or you should give for them, at least in this first game. I understand Vando's game is not predicated on rhythm because he doesn't shoot well in the first place. Woods is. So anything they can give you is great, but realistically, when you're throwing them in the middle of a game three after they've had nothing to even remotely call any NBA, practice or NBA speed, anything up to in 2 months, for each of them, how much realistically can we actually ask for?
Myself, and I could speak for Gerald because Gerald just spoke for himself. I'm not going to speak for Joe. I have zero expectations about the level of productivity potentially getting from Christian Wood and Jared Vanderbilt. And Gerald, I've used this example a few times, and I'll just kind of reiterate it again because I think it's apropos and it fits. I remember, about, it's got to be 12, 13 years ago, maybe a little longer. I remember watching the Florida Gators playing against the Mississippi State Bulldogs. And Tim Tebow turned his ankle and he wasn't able to come back into the game and he missed the next game. Well, he came back against Alabama and played his ass off, and Florida eventually went on to win the national championship. But throughout his coming back, he struggled at times. And when he became an analyst, he had a really great analogy. And the analogy was this. What you see from prime athletes is not in your video game. In the video game, just as an example, I'll use Joe. Joe Soro is a 95 in NFL 2K. So Joe's a 95 center.
Did you do a create a player on him?
I did not, but I should.
Okay.
Anyway, Joe 95 in NFL 2K sprains his ankle. He comes back the next game. He's still a 95. If you're Jared Vanderbilt or Christian Wood and you're like an 84, 85, you might be a 76, 77 when you come back, Gerald, because as you stated, it's been months since you actually exerted yourself in an NBA game. It's different. The physicality is different. The pace is different. The intensity is different. All of it is different. The magnitude of the moment is higher. The pressure is higher. You're not going to be the same player you were. It's going to take a little bit for you to come back. And that goes for any player, whether it's Jared Vanderbilt, Joe Soro, Gerald Glassford, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Zion. You have to have zero expectations when a player comes back from an injury that they're going to be the player you remember them as when they were at the peak of their ability. It's not realistic. It's not realistic. You have to have zero expectations because you know what, Gerald? Whether or not it's going for a driver's license, writing a big exam, going for a job interview, if you have zero expectations and just decide just to perform your best that you can, you have no way of being disappointed in yourself or being disappointed in what you're watching. And that's the realistic expectation that people should have.
Well, 6 points from your bench is also something that I think isn't getting much notoriety, guys. And, you know, when you only have 6 points literally from your bench, that's bad. That means your starting lineup is giving you everything. And when Rui is only scoring 3 points, Joe, that doesn't make it a whole lot better. You need help and you need opportunities. And these guys are just not getting it done when they're getting the opportunity, at least so far in game two that they didn't. Okay. We're all waiting for you. He's pondering.
Subscriber, huh?
I was just cool. Looking at
Sean. Smile. Thank you, RC Crazy. Appreciate you subscribing.
Semantics at this point with all this. Who's this? Who's that? Who's blame? Who's what? All due respect to Jared Vanderbilt and Christian Wood. Everything those guys do are things that the Lakers aren't necessarily going to really need. They need someone who can rebound on the offensive side, which is something that's killed them all year. They also need someone that can get easy baskets. And then you can say maybe play better defense. But the problem is the scheme is the issue. And stamina right now is going to be a problem for Vanderbilt. He's not going to be able to play 30, 35 minutes of basketball that's going to be of any relevance. Christian Wood is too deficient in the areas that we need someone of his size to execute. The Lakers have to depend on their five starters, and they cannot miss layups and open shots, which if I had to pick something that probably cost the Lakers the game last night, it's the inability to do the fundamental plays. Hit open shots on a regular basis, hit the layups. LeBron missed way too many layups, and he's been missing those layups all year, last couple of years. Rui, absolutely devastating layup misses yesterday. If they hit those shots, this game is over. This game is a win for the Lakers. They're not doing the things they're supposed to do. The little things are the things that matter in these games, and the Lakers don't do them. The coach doesn't know how to set up plays. He doesn't know how to adjust the plays. He doesn't know how to adjust to them getting tired and falling back on another play that might make it a little easier to adjust. This team is talented enough for you to be able to, you know, go tit for tat in terms of scheme. But Darvin Ham doesn't have that ability. He doesn't know how to coach. It sounds amazingly crazy to say that, but he doesn't, folks. He does not know how to coach. Doesn't know how to adjust. Doesn't know how to teach these guys how to adjust. And you can beat every team in the NBA. And if you can't beat one team and you're not winning a championship with this particular setup, doesn't matter, folks. This team was constructed to win championships, not to make it to the first round of the playoffs, not to beat every team except for one team. You lose to the Denver Nuggets in this series, you have failed and failed miserably. And for LeBron James, your only benefit at this point, playing as long as you have and putting all this work in, is to win championships. Otherwise, what are you doing it for? No one cares about 40,000 points unless you're a LeBron stan or whatever it is that you guys call it. And someone who's just into stats, which in the NBA, it's not that big. You know, no one cares about stats in the NBA. It's not baseball. Baseball is a statistical sport. Baseball is where people I've heard talk about stats, home runs, OBS, all that garbage, right? But in the NBA, in where LeBron stands in this, where even AD stands in this, his disrespect by the writers and the league in general, the fact that he wasn't even a finalist in a position that he has dominated for as long as he has, you change those narratives possibly by winning these kind of games, but they're not able to do that. And yes, they've won. Yes, LeBron's won four championships, but LeBron is playing for something much, much bigger than just four championships. He's playing for the all-time title, and just not able to execute the little things at this point. And I don't know if they're going to be able to against this team.
Imagine, I just want to let you know, when you go ahead and type something in, can you just mute your microphone? Just want to let you know, because I got you on feedback there when you do. But yeah, don't mind you at all. Or
type softly next time instead of.
Well, sometimes you got to respond back with some forceful typing back to those trolls on our chat.
At least I know what Stan means.
I know what Stan means. It's from
what does it mean?
It's from the stupid Eminem video.
It's a song, but yeah, okay.
So if that's
I'm not a boomer, dude. I know what Stan is.
Well, technically you are, but okay.
Yeah. A boomer is someone after World War II, by the way. Born after World War II, right after World War II.
Whatever.
Born boomer. In 1978. I'm a Gen Xer.
Whatever, so boomer.
We all can suck it.
And on that note, again, I will be pleasantly surprised if we get anything from those two guys, but that still doesn't excuse what the Lakers need to do. I don't know if Darvin has any more tricks or adjustments that he can make up his sleeve.
Well, that's the funny thing about this is that kind of verbiage is warranted to be fired at that moment. He should have been fired in December with, because he was talking like he was talking excuses even then, you know.
Oh, I know you were livid like in late December when he was doing it.
Yeah, he's an excuse machine, and when your leader coach is an excuse machine, you immediately have to get rid of that. That's a very impressionable coach to the players. Yes, these are adult players, but you have a coach that makes excuses, then you don't have a leader. You have a chump. Darvin Ham is a chump in the coaching world. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. I wouldn't hire him to run my company. Honestly, I wouldn't run him. I wouldn't hire him to run a lemonade stand. That you might call that mean and uncalled for, but seriously, I don't trust anyone in a leadership position who makes excuses, especially at this kind of level, especially with the talent he has too. You got D'Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And you're making excuses like you're the Orlando Magic.
Okay. Well, I love NV213 when he says, you know what? Joe's generation, Joe is a baby boomer. The worst, technically speaking. They take credit for what the boomers did and raised kids. Not Joe personally, though. But that generation failed us. But not Joe personally, though. You're Mr. Caveat, Joe. So, Magic Man. So, with that said, Magic Man, we.
You all right?
I got the crowd behind me. Win the crowd, win your freedom.
Yeah. You finished? Can we go now?
Oh,
yep, I'm good.
Like a true gladiator. Can't wait for Gladiator 2 to come out. I want to see footage of that. But anyways, I want to go ahead and ask you, Magic Man, I mean, what other adjustments can Mr. I've got always a trick up my sleeve and I yet to go ahead and use it when we need it, Darvin Ham?
Maybe because he's got his hands in his pockets, maybe add a pocket watch.
Okay.
Accentuate what you got, accessorize. I mean, that's the only adjustment I think he can make, like literally, Gerald. Schematically, you have to find a way, and I think Jared Vanderbilt can help in this instance, is try to eliminate Joker's ability inside the box. Make him be a facilitator out on the perimeter as much as you can. I mean, he's one of the best in the world. He's going to find open shooters. He's going to be able to pocket those passes. That being said, if you can keep him out of the box and away from the elbow as much as you can, I think schematically that can work, because AD was doing his damnedest with that. He was able to knock Jokic off his spots and make him work offensively. That I think that was one of the keys, is that AD made him work defensively, but he also made him work on the offensive end as well. And that's why Michael Malone made that adjustment where he just took Joker away from AD, because he knows that one-on-one, and I don't know if that dummy Cali is in the chat, but one-on-one, AD is a better basketball player than Nikola Jokic. He's more athletic. He's just as intelligent as the Joker is, and he's a better defender. So he has those three characteristics that put him above Jokic as an individual player. Now, Jokic is the better passer. I would say that's probably the only facet of a game that he has on AD. But Michael Malone made that adjustment, and Darvin Ham didn't counter Gerald. Anybody, the pop guy who sells the popcorn, in the usher, somebody. If it's not going to be Chris or Phil Handy, getting in Darvin's ear, telling him to make those counters.
Or gotten, like the one that just got interviewed, Jordan Ott.
Yeah, somebody else. Hell, you know, I hope Jack is at the game on Thursday so he can yell at the guy. I mean, he's and by the way, happy belated birthday to Jack Nicholson, turned 86 last week. But yeah, somebody needs to get in this guy's ear and scream until his eardrums are blown out that you have to counter what Michael Malone is doing. Because it again, and Joe alluded to it at the beginning of the pod, Denver isn't doing anything special. We talked about this. They're not doing anything special. They're not running really anything too exotic offensively. They're basically running their basic offense, and they're just able to execute at a more efficient level than we are at the end of games. And if that doesn't change, yeah, it's going to be a long, long off season. So to me, the two schemes you can really try and address is, one, keep Jokic out of the box as much as you can with Jared Vanderbilt and AD's length, and somebody get in Darvin Ham's ear. Hell, slap him across the face if you have to. I'm not condoning physical violence here, but this guy needs a real, like, literal kick in the ass.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It's the Lakers Snapback, along with Magic Man Chung Rice and Joe Sorrell. Thanks so much again for listening. We'll be back tomorrow as well for another great show. And then, of course, Thursday, we've got the full lineup with the Lakers heading into Game 3 against the Denver Nuggets. And Joe, again, like I said, and Alan pointed out early in the chat, Lakers have had two double-digit leads against the Denver Nuggets in both games and have whittled away. Whether you want to say fatigue, whether you want to just the things in line in regards to, and he had to put that mute on while you did that, Sean. Exactly. So I ask you, Joe, I think fatigue does have something to do with it in the decisions that they're making in the second half, but is there any way we can buy some extra time for AD or LeBron with anybody that could come off the bench, or any way we could go ahead and change the rotations around to buy the Lakers a little bit more time for AD and LeBron?
No. Okay. The starters have to hold the entire team together. Every starter needs to have a very good game to great game. And there is no other way to go. If Rui scores 10 points, has an okay game, actually, the Lakers win. If I thought Austin Reeves played his best game ever in terms defensively. Russell came to play after all the criticism he got. And then, of course, LeBron did it. What he did in AD was having a career playoff game until the offense decided not to go to him late in the fourth. The deficiency in scheme is remarkable. There is no coherent coaching efficiency with this team. It matters. It does matter scheme-wise. Matters to at least put your players in the best position possible. If you're putting them in the best position possible, they're probably winning these games, but they're not being in the best. They're not being put in there. If they're not listening to Darvin Ham when he does set these up, then that's a whole different story. Is that something we can find out? Is he scheming? Well, based off what he says, it's probably not happening because I would think that if they're not executing what he's teaching them, he's going to be calling timeouts. I'm like, didn't I tell you guys to set this up this way? What's going on here? Coach, we're tired. We can't get to those spots. When we look at the film and see what's going on, it doesn't look like it's it doesn't look like it's the inability not to get the spots. It looks like they're just not thinking and they're not really paying attention. the coaches, it's the coach's job to wake them up then at that point and tell them, get your ass over here. You go that way and you adjust to this. That's your job as a coach. If you can't communicate that with your team, then you shouldn't be coaching. And if your players aren't doing what you're saying they should do, then you need to figure this out during the year. That's why there's 82 games. There's 82 games to figure out if guys are going to listen to you or not.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. So I ask you, Magic Man, good question. I want to get some questions from the crowd. I wanted to get into you. The first one is, I've got one from Robert that he put in. I'm going to go ahead and get Joe because that was meant for Joe. But one that Marco, a new viewer, appreciate you joining us. Please like and subscribe. Follow us to get the latest notifications, to go ahead and get the latest notifications from us here at the Lakers Fast Break. Marco asks, would we still be down 2-0 if we had Michael Malone as the coach instead of Darvin Ham? Joe's already shaking his head no.
So everything else is equal. It's just that Michael Malone's the coach. Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Joe,
Great question, Marco. Yeah,
that's a great question. Absolutely. Question number two for Joe. Joe, do you think the starters as a whole will play better simply because they're at home?
I don't know. Usually role players play better at home, but these guys have been losing at home against Denver for 2 years. So,
i.e. the 10 for 10 that MPJ shot.
Yes. There isn't enough discipline, and there isn't enough execution from both the coaching and the players in a 48-minute game against Denver. The Lakers have to. They can't do it. They don't have a bench, guys. So when AD sits or LeBron sits, they're gonna have to essentially buy enough time to where they can keep it even while they're sitting the 3, 4, 5 minutes, and then come back and continue to do what you were doing before, which is the other problem with this team is they sit their players and then they don't continue what was working before they sit. And that's just mind-boggling to me. I don't know what the mindset of that is. It's just a fractured team. It doesn't know how to play against this particular team, and the coaching is being exposed every time they play. The players are not doing the little things to make things easier for themselves, as well as the coaching staff, as well as the team in general. It's so many little things that aren't being done, and it's the responsibility of the coach to make these things work. We said at the beginning of the year, if you guys are going to continue to miss layups, maybe you guys need to start practicing getting yourselves conditioned to dealing with contact at the rim and making those shots. You remember what I said? How I would have like one of those tackling dummy things like they do in football where they hit, right? Where the offensive lineman hits them, and do that while they're going to a layup. Now, you're not going to try to block them off and have them get hurt, but just the resistance. Get yourself conditioned for that hit enough to where you can make those shots, but they don't. LeBron is way too good to miss those shots, even at that. And Rui, another guy that's kind of built like LeBron, wide, 6'8", are missing shots that are absolutely killing the Lakers. And it has to stop. Otherwise, it's just not going to work. It's just not going to work. And mentally, I think LeBron needs to get to a point, even though he's been right on some of this stuff, he needs to get to a point where he just shuts off the referee issue. It's killing him. It's distracting him. And that's it. That's all we got left.
That's what pisses me off the most about this mofo that coaches our team. It's what pisses me off the most. When you're buying a new car, do you, Gerald, have you ever bought a car you didn't test drive first?
No.
This dumbass does with his offense. That's what he does. See, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, Gerald, but thank you for answering the question. See, when you test drive a car, I'll give you an example. I was able to drive a 1968 Chevelle last week, standard, that was just a beautiful ride. Ripped it for about 20 minutes. It was great. The issue was the friend of ours that was buying it had noticed that it needed a realignment because it was drifting to the left a little bit. That's why you test drive a car before you buy it.
So funny, because I recently was in the market for an SUV, and we went to 7 or 8 different dealers, Magic Man, and we go to one in Honda, and we're all ready to test drive the CRV, and all right, where's the keys? Oh, here's the keys. There you go. You're not coming with us on this? Well, it's good. We just need your phone, need your ID. Just go ahead. You're good. So I've never been in a test drive where the salesperson ever in my life was with me. They're always with me. So just when he just said, "You're good, you're good." So
yeah, that's never happened to me either, Gerald.
So I could just given you a fake ID and just like jet it on out to you, past the state line. Okay, all right.
But that's what he does. Maybe that's
one of the reasons why we bought the actual vehicle from him.
You're running set plays in the beginning of that third quarter, and you're creating and generating good to very good to excellent offensive possessions that are resulting in 1.33 points per possession, which is very good, especially against a team like Denver. But then you drift. You're not test driving the offense you're running. You're just winging it. That's what you're doing. You're winging it. And Gerald, all due respect, LeBron James is 39 years old. He's not Basquiat. He's not Jackson Pollock anymore. He's Bob Ross. It's like paint by numbers. Got to paint some happy little trees, some happy little clouds, but there is a beauty in the simplicity of what Ross does, but he has a prep before he paints. It's not like Basquiat or Jackson Pollock where they just create it on the fly. That can't happen anymore, especially with a coach that is as inexperienced and doesn't have the critical thinking tools to wing it. And that's why I brought up the example of you test drive a car before you actually purchase it. And he doesn't do this with this offense. He says, nope, you know what? Forget what was working. We're going to drift to the left just ever so slightly because we're going to try something new. Well, just because you're trying something new and something out of the box doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work. I mean, so Joe was talking about bodybuilding the other day. There's a concept in working out called muscle confusion. It's where there's no pre-preparation before you work out. You just work out different muscles at different times, and that creates the muscle confusion. That doesn't work in the NBA, and it certainly doesn't work in the playoffs when everybody has film on you. You've got 25 scouts, 15 video coordinators who know everything you do inside and out, from the start of your day to what you eat for breakfast, to what you eat for dinner, and how you run your offense. It just doesn't work. And that's what pisses me off the most about Darvin Ham, is his consistent arrogance that because he's going to try something new, he automatically thinks it's going to work, even though what you're running is working. And what? Shame on him for blowing a 12-point lead and a 20-point lead when you were running an effective offense and you just went away from it. And by the way, if he wants to race in a 68 Chevelle, I'll show you drifting to the left, Darvin.
I feel like we've digressed into a Fast and Furious movie. But once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is a snack pack. It's Joe Soro, Magic Man Sean Grice, along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for listening. If you're new here, please like, follow, and subscribe to get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with the latest Lakers Fast Break. We go on air pretty much every day. I'm thinking this year we'll probably do about 340 out of the year. That's pretty good. You know, that's our goal, is to do almost do as pretty much every day we can. So we will bring you as much as we can on the Lakers all year round right here at the Lakers Fast Break. But Joe, we may be coming down to it, the harsh reality, with possibly two games left in the season. The Lakers have to become desperate, and they have to find a way. To me, it's very hard to say what the Lakers can do because they've had two strong first halves. I mentioned it before. They were up by 12 and one, 20 in the other. They've held. I know we've talked about Austin Reeves' poor shooting, but he has been a great part of the reason why Jamal Murray has gone 18 of 48. If you'd have told me that, I would have said the Lakers have had a chance in this series. The problem is, the second game just didn't go our way. And you can blame it on LeBron, the refs, Darvin Ham, Austin Reeves, whatever you want to blame on, the terrible bench, anything you can blame it on. It's just, again, the Lakers have done so much right, Joe, but also have done so much wrong.
Closing it out.
Yeah.
And it's not one thing, it's several things. It's just sometimes you feel like one of those things is worse than the other, depending on the time. But when you're this close to winning and you're not doing the little things, it starts to make sense. The ref's not calling something, gets blown up. The Sean's face getting closer to the camera starts to happen. Cool bro starts asking dumb questions late at night when he should be in bed.
You know where his sounding is, board for dating.
He's talking to
a girl. He's got the right attitude.
I don't care who he's talking to. Well, it's
then leave him out of it.
Well, when someone asks me a question on the show, I have to answer it.
Not doing the Cooper Cup thing on you again for like an hour.
It doesn't matter. It's a waste.
One of our biggest shows of the year, and he's asking you about Cooper Cup.
It's a waste of my time, and you guys know how much I don't like my time wasted.
That's for sure.
The Lakers have to do this. It's stupid to say it, right? You need to ball up. At some point, those five starters need to go. We're not going to lose these next two games. We, together. Darvin Ham is not going to stop you guys. He doesn't coach. So you guys need to use your heads and your bodies and understand that if there's certain adjustments that need to be get done, LeBron, you're supposedly a genius on the basketball court. You and J.J. Redick have a podcast where you're talking about bringing back that knowledge of basketball acumen. Good for you, LeBron. Good for you. Good for you, J.J. Redick. I mean, J.J. Redick already set the tombstone for himself by calling Jerry West's era a bunch of plumbers.
Of course, he was just interviewed for the Charlotte job.
Which you know, I have full confidence that if Jerry West could go back in time and get his prime ability back, he would bust J.J. Redick in the mouth. I mean, not literally, but on the basketball court.
No, he might bust him in the mouth.
Well, that could still happen, right? I mean, Jerry West is still throwing amazing quotes even in his 80s. But you can't talk and not follow the talk. People who talk too much typically don't follow because there's a fakeness there. Or they're trying to get your attention in a way where they're just getting attention. Folks, it doesn't matter if you don't win. If Jamal Murray doesn't hit that shot, and let's say there was 3 seconds left, and then the Lakers came back and shot and made the shot, we're probably not talking about 90% of the stuff we're talking about right now. It's safe that we're not talking about it like this. We'd be talking, man, they went into Denver. Yeah, they let the lead, the big lead go. But, hey, they won in Denver. Let's see if we can win the next 2 games. But when you lose, the little details become magnified. And this is where you're at. So now it's time for these 5 starters to really, really understand what needs to get done the rest of the way here. What needs to get done is you need to tap into something that you probably have never had together. And that is a mental and physical combination of execution and needs to be for 48 minutes. You do that, you have a shot at possibly changing this up. If you get into the third quarter and you have a 10-point lead in the second quarter, and all of a sudden it's down to 1, 2 minutes in because you can't score for 4 minutes since the 10-point lead, then you just keep doing the same thing over and over again. Stop doing the same thing over and over again with Denver. Make it work. Execute the little things. Stop missing layups and stop missing wide open shots in critical times. It's not just the missed shot during the game. It's when you're wide open and you don't make those shots, it's like giving them 2 points or 3 points, your opponent. It's a tough game. It's a hard game. Just like it's hard for Sean to not laugh when I'm talking this entire time.
I'm laughing because I'm reminded of a great quote from a great English film. You're familiar with the movie Snatch, fellas? Okay. Yeah. So Tony Jones comes from the same neighborhood as my great-grandfather, and he's got some of the best lines in that film. And one of them is this. So, obviously, you are the big dick of this group. Well, let me tell you something. There are 2 kinds of balls. There are big, brave balls, and there are little, mincy, church mouse balls. Now, dicks have vision and clarity, but they're not clever. So you can have all the balls that you want. Balls don't win. They just get you to that point. And right now, I agree with Joe. A lot of the Lakers players are playing with church mouse balls.
Okay.
It's sad to say that too.
And Darvin Ham has the smallest of the group because everything is directed from him. He is the head coach. The schemes, the direction of this team, the focus, the preparation, the understanding, the clarity, the counters. Everything comes from him, and he's failing the group because he has little bitty church mouse balls.
You know what? Actually, I think this is the first comment we've got on this. And I speak the truth, says, I respect you, Laker fans. Even when things look bleak, you guys manage to stay positive. Are we sure? I respect that. My Nuggets will close the series out soon, but you guys earn my respect and subscribe. Salute. Magic Man, the loud fingers again. But Joe, when you hear something like that, you know, It's nice. Seems very poignant, but I don't think that's necessarily true because the Laker fans and are in states of disbelief, hysteria, blaming. I don't know. Just, you know, we've reached the whole gamut of emotions in the past 24 hours. And obviously we're trying to find clarity to you guys. And we always try to bring it real to you here. It's not always been the prettiest thing in the world, Joe, when we tell them, but you and I and Magic Man as well, from the get-go, this season has said, if we ran up against Denver, even when we thought the team was doing well, even when we thought the team, you know, when we saw the team win the IST, even the highs and lows and lows, we had always said, you know what? It's going to be an uphill climb against the Denver Nuggets. And that's what it's been so far. It's been exactly how we've been envisioning it all season, Joe.
Yeah, and you can change that by doing what you're supposed to do and winning the next two games at home. You win the next two games at home, now there's some thinking going on the other side. Now your confidence goes to another level. That's it. There is no other way to look at this, whether it's Darvin Ham needs to figure out what he needs to do or what not to do, whether these guys need to do the little things. It doesn't look good that it's going to happen because they haven't been able to do it for the last 10 games, but there's got to be a point here where you win. At what point will you finally start winning? Are they going to just lose every time? You can't do it. We could diagram this thing. I've seen a lot of good diagrams here the last day in the deficiencies of the offense and defense and where on the court things aren't being done. And it's just a bunch of internet people like us doing it. Why are you saying that the Lakers don't look at the same film? Are they not in the, you know, are they not in the war room? Is that better, Sean? Should I do this every time, you know, somebody's talking? Is that better? Wait, hold on. How about now? Is that better? Okay, just checking. Hold on. Is that better too? There. You want me to get closer, Jay? Good. Just checking. What I want to know is, what I want to know is really what these guys are doing. We're not going to find out. You know, doors are closed. They're not going to let anybody in to know what they're doing. What are they doing? Because based off what we've seen, is it doesn't look like they're doing anything. The preparers of the team, the coaching staff, because they're not learning from anything that's been going on here with the Denver Nuggets. We got a coach that's saying, I got some stuff up my sleeves, up my rear, up my pockets. Can you bring it out then? Can you win? You know what would have happened if you would have won these first two games in Denver when you were up 12 and 20? You could have had a chance to give your team a series win against the champs and possibly go on to win a championship. What are you waiting for? It's stupid comments. How do you, like, if I knew Darvin Ham and I could talk to him, I'm like, what are you talking about? What does that even mean? What do you mean you got stuff in your hands, pockets, whatever? If I'm Malone in the Nuggets, I'm laughing. I'm laughing at that. Going, you're not going to pull this stuff out now. When are you going to pull it out? When you're 4-0 in the series? This is not a coach, guys. This is not an NBA head coach. And it's very hard to find a very good NBA coach in general, let alone a really bad one. And the silver lining here is if the Lakers do get swept in this series, the first thing I'm going to be waiting for is for the Black Monday version of the NBA. Does he get fired the next day? Because that's all I'm going to be waiting on. And do the Lakers have a plan on getting someone that knows what they're doing next? Which doesn't look like they will be, because this thing needed to start a long time ago. Maybe they have. I don't know. Maybe they have somebody just kind of gauging it. But it's we've said everything that needs to be said. There's enough information out there to describe why the Lakers have lost these two first games, and it seems to be the same story over and over again. And until the Lakers team and the coaches figure out a way to play 48 minutes of basketball instead of 40 minutes or 42 minutes or 46 minutes or 47 and a half minutes, this is going to be the result against the Denver Nuggets. And you're going to have another lost season. Another lost season where you've paid a lot of money for two very, very good players and some good role players that are supposed to win in an era right now where there's really not a seriously dominant team. Denver's a very good team, but they're not a dominant team. And you're also risking the fact that the Celtics could end up winning it this year too.
Brandon with the very suggestive questions there in the chat. Okay, but...
Well, I mean, to be perfectly frank,
I'd like to still call you Sean, though. I don't know if I see you as a Frank.
You said you like okay. to be Frank.
Yeah.
Just my opinion there.
Okay. Top three, top five player all time, however you want to describe him. He's passive aggressive. He's passive aggressive. And in this moment, when you're in the trenches and the chips are down, passive aggressive doesn't get you where you need to go. It doesn't. Those Arthur memes with the fist. You know what passive aggressive got him in Miami, Gerald? It got him a long summer that first year. It was a long summer. And he learned very quickly that certain people will not tolerate. Like, one of the reasons why Joe liked me from the start was because I called a lot of the millennials passive aggressive.
Thought and it was a boomer.
And it's you changed your name to Frank.
No.
It's still, I thought he was a boomer. He was just called a boomer earlier in the show.
Yeah. Well, he appreciates honesty. That's what he appreciates. And he doesn't appreciate, of all people, he's the one who sees through passive aggressiveness better than the average person. And so he knows I'm right about LeBron. He knows I'm right. And you know who else knew about that too? Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley. Because when the chips were down in Miami and he was whining and complaining and didn't have those big brave stones, he had those church mouse stones, he tried to tell Pat Riley what he was going to do with his franchise. You know what Pat did, Gerald? He sat back in his chair and he said, you see that phone number? This is Eric Spoelstra, by the way. You see that phone number on the whiteboard? If you have a problem with the way I'm coaching, and this is Eric Spoelstra, if you have a problem with the way I'm coaching, call that number. Someone will answer the phone and you can talk to him because he's my boss. And you know what, Gerald? LeBron wrote the number down, and this is from Brian Windhorst, who's the biggest LeBron, you know what, around. LeBron put the number in his phone, and he never called Riley to tell him to fire Eric Spoelstra. Now, why do you think he didn't do that, Gerald? Because he didn't have the guts. Because Pat Riley would have told him the same thing he told Magic, Kareem, Pat Ewing, John Starks, Antoine Walker, Dwayne Wade, and everybody else that came before him. This is my team. This isn't your team. This is my team. And this is my coach. And I'm not firing for you or anybody else. And nobody in the Lakers has that kind of moxie and bravery to say something like this, because everything is passive aggressive with this group. I liked what AD said. I agreed with him. But your problem is with him and you're not directing it in his direction. So one or two things is true. And it can only be one or the other. It can't be both. Either LeBron and AD are like this, and everybody follows them, tethered, or there is a disconnect between Darvin Ham, the players, and that starts with Rob Pelinka and Ginny, because that means there's a disconnect between them and what's going on with their team. Now, what do you think is a bigger problem there? I'll ask everybody in our community and Joe and Gerald, what's the bigger problem there? A or B? That LeBron and AD are really running this franchise and doing it in a passive-aggressive way, or that there's a disconnect from the top right down the locker room?
Well, AD was still a little bit vague, but he was a little bit more specific in his answer yesterday in regards to what he thought was going on with the Lakers, and that I mentioned it on the show where he said that there was issues on both sides of the floor at times. And he just said, you know, paraphrasing here, that this team just can't get its act together. And it sounded, like you said, passive aggressive or thinly veiled shots at the coach directly. So it's not just the coach's fault. It's not just the player's fault. It's an organization. When I've always said, when this team wins, it's an organizational win. When it loses, it's an organizational loss. And you can start with Rob. You can start with Genie and make your way down. But everybody has their hand when the Lakers win and also when they lose. It's just that simple. You can point the finger at a whole bunch of things. I'm just answering a question now from yesterday's video in regards to, you know, I guess let me go ahead and I'll bring it up, that why is blaming going around, but I have not heard LeBron take responsibility for the loss, or AD take responsibility, or Ham take responsibility. It's easier sports, to play the
game. Yeah. And sports baby, if you want to call the salary cap a problem, I mean, go for it. But that's straight bullocks. This is the Los Angeles Lakers. You are the eminent franchise in the NBA. You shouldn't have a problem with spending money. That shouldn't be a coronary issue with your franchise. But so why are you penny pinching then?
Look at Phoenix. They spent more than any other team.
They're going to be on the hook. Two. Yeah.
And Grayson Allen, I don't know when he's coming back after he got hurt today. So see what good it did for them.
See, and this is the issue. Again, people hate the Vegas Knights, Gerald's Vegas Knights, because they spend money and they use the confines of the salary cap and the rules within it, and they bend them. They bend them, and sometimes they break them. The Lakers aren't willing to do that, and they have the capacity to do it. They just choose not to. Why? Could be for only one of two reasons. They're cheap, which, all due respect, is the answer. Or two, they don't view winning and success the same way their father did. And Genie would say that's a flat out lie. So it's the first reason. They're cheap. She's cheap. And they've decided to penny pinch. So the salary cap isn't the problem. The problem is Genie Buss not willing to spend to make the Lakers a winner.
But it's also about how you allocate those funds, Magic Man, whether you spend a little or a lot. It's do you make the right decisions when given?
Gerald, it's a difference. Fair enough, but it's a different sport. But your NHL team hands out 8-year contracts like they're going out of style. and true. $8 million a year, like they're going out of style, and you're finding yourselves at the top of the Western Conference you're up 1-0 in it.
Yeah, okay. But it took one of the guys that they haven't. Well, hold on. Let me say this one thing. It took the guy that's not on an 8-year contract to come back before they won the game.
Fair enough. But the fact is that the Vegas Knights have been willing to do what it takes to be a winner.
True. They did some smart moves at the beginning of their inception as far as manipulating the draft.
Their ownership has told management, do whatever it takes to win. You need to manipulate the cap, do it. You need extra funds, we'll give it to you.
Cool, bro. It's a hockey team, Vegas Golden Knights. You see paraphernalia? Do you see the flag that says the Vegas Golden Knights behind me? It's only been sitting there for months.
Got to get out of your bubble, cool bro.
You live a sheltered life, cool bro. But
got to get out of the bubble, bro.
Joe, let's go ahead and let's start wrapping this thing up for tonight. But once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Sorrell, Magic Man Sean Grice, and me, Gerald Glassford. Again, before we head on out, do want to mention that we will be back tomorrow for an episode, plus also Thursday. Our game coverage is only we can bring it. But Mr. Interpreter, before we head on out, Joe, we'll be pointing the finger at a lot of things come the off season as you're doing it right now. But as it gets closer and closer to the end of the season, I mean, are you reflecting on anything or anything that the Lakers could have done differently? Anything that that you feel, like you said, that just we had two double digit leads against Denver, as Alan pointed out earlier in the show. And I keep coming back to that, how we could easily, if something had just been done differently, been up 2-0 ourselves.
There's a lot of things that could have been done different. The talent acquisition could have been better. Drafting could have been better. Picking the right coach would have been better. Playing games in December and January a little bit better so that you weren't playing as a 7th seed. The fracture in this organization is evident in many areas. And you can pick and choose whichever one you want, depending on what you feel is more important. LeBron missing certain shots, LeBron being passive aggressive, AD not getting the ball or not demanding the ball, Austin not making shots when he's supposed to, Rui not doing what he's supposed to, D'Lo not having a good game here, having a good game there, Darvin Ham not calling the right offensive sets, Darvin not adjusting to better defensive sets, Rob not doing a better trade at the deadline. It's an organizational issue, like you said, that's got little paper cuts over this team. It's all little paper cuts that have created a gangrene situation that's starting to form. And if the Lakers end up losing the next two games, the gangrene will be full bore, and it will kill the Lakers. And it was because of those small cuts that the Lakers allowed themselves to get. How you get out of this? There's discussions of going after a third star. There's discussions of getting a new coach. You cannot go into the future here. Should it be by Saturday night? Should it be by next week? Should it be by 2 months from now? You got to go into this next decision-making process and understand who you have and what kind of weapons you have to get things done. I don't know if Rob Pelinka is equipped to get the right coach. And I know for a fact that Genie's not the right owner to put someone in charge to do that. So you're already behind the eight ball there. Then you're going to have a pick, a very early pick again.
Maybe.
Well, no. Well, the New Orleans...
It's not confirmed as yet. They have until just before
the
draft.
Let's say it's confirmed for discussion purposes.
Okay.
You could have a solid first round pick where you could add possibly a rotational player this year. Then you'll have a mid-level exception player that could be beneficial versus what you've had the last year, which is a bust as a draft pick and a player that hasn't played practically all year. Then you have to figure out how are you going to adjust to LeBron being a year older, Anthony Davis being a year older, and are you going to pay one of your cogs the money that he wants? It's a lot of things on the table here. And you have to get talent that's going to combat the issues you've had with the team that's been your nemesis here, which is the Denver Nuggets. It's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff. And we can't really discuss it in detail right now. The Lakers are still in the playoffs here.
But you can bet your bottom dollar we'll be talking about it all summer long.
We'll be talking about it all summer long, and there's no one answer to fix this thing. There's too many things that need to be fixed, and then we still have to wait another year to see if it's fixed.
Alan is trying to start trouble between you.
What are you, a third base coach? Doing signals now?
It's sign language,
and you'll never know, but I just got even with you.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
No.
I did.
No, because something's coming now, so go ahead and talk.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up here. Truly appreciate you joining us here for tonight. It is the Lakers Fast Break. It's the Lakers Snap Pack. We will be on tomorrow with more analysis and hope, and also provide you some insight in what may go on for Game 3. Interesting, though, that Jokic's brother, again, one of Jokic's brothers, again, caused conflict after the game. I thought that was very interesting how the NBA is looking to a possible punch that Jokic's brother took after the Game 2 victory. So we'll see what happens there. But it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Sorrell, Magic Man Sean Grice, and me, Gerald Glassford. Appreciate you joining us today. Thank you again for doing so. We'll be back with more great fun, more sign language, more great talk, more dating talk for Cool Bro, maybe more rumors from Shams or Dave McMenamin or Adrian Wojnarowski, as Joe loves it, but who knows? But Sean, stay tuned after the show. I'll go ahead and make sure I give you the lowdown and the 411 on all the AI talk from Cool Bro before we head on out. So go ahead and make sure you're available tomorrow to check us out right here for the Lakers Fast Break. And of course, thanks so much again for joining us from all of us right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.